What is free thinking? It may sound simplistic or unreliable, but after 40 years of experience, I can say that a formula for free thinking definitely exists. And I intend to shorten your path to it. Later, I will list the 6 tools that make it possible to think freely. I arrived at free thought when I tried to raise a level from thinking about my race for success to understanding how I think and what makes me move forward. Free thought is actually a method of thought that produces better thought on several levels. We always try to build a thought from something that is most likely true and are not afraid to debunk myths or people's opinions, compared to things that are not an opinion, such as the earth is round. When you apply free thought to free thought, you get that you have to see a profit from the thought and not just the opinions of a thinker, which means financial, health, social gain, and in general to earn. If so, the formula for free thought is presented here, but like anything new, you have to practice it. Although it takes years to reach a level of expertise, the initial improvement is immediate. Free thought outlines the path to decision-making by cross-referencing information from various fields of knowledge, such as mathematics, statistics, science, evolution, anthropology, logic, and neutralizing unverified assumptions. In free thought, you usually make the best decision with the highest probability. Crossing several sources of information with logic is the basis of free thought. When you ask something to which the answer is, "That's how it is," or, "That's how everyone does it," usually a free thought will show that it's a mistake. Where is everyone? The question I get asked the most is, "If what you say about nutrition, education, health, government, business, the environment, etc. is true, then where is everyone? Why don't the nutrition professors say there are toxins in vegetables? Why doesn't the government separate authorities? Why don't free-range chickens be raised so that the eggs are not poisonous to us? How does the Ministry of Education not force everyone to be excellent in mathematics, if it is within everyone's reach?" There is a logical explanation for this. Stay with me for a moment. Why listen to me? I don't think it's right to listen to me without trying to reach these conclusions on your own or check if things really work. All this without taking any risk, of course. But it's worth paying attention to my unique life path that shaped the way I think. I grew up with a social worker mother and an electrical engineer father. Their parents were the only Holocaust survivors in their family. The Holocaust was present in the house all the time and brought with it the urge to think big and different. When I was 10 years old, we moved to Silicon Valley for 2 years. During these years, I was exposed to the American culture, the need to make everything perfect and build a method for everything. In addition, I acquired the skill in a second language that comes with thinking in 2 languages, on 2 different paths. During my high school years, I dabbled in the stock market and read economic newspapers. After that, I studied electrical engineering at the Technion and graduated as Dean's Honors after 7 semesters. During my studies, I founded my first company, an online blackjack platform. I then set up an online casino, then a paid backgammon site. Finally, we founded Plus 500, which brought in over $2 billion in the last decade. After the success of Plus 500, I started messing around with free thought that is not related to making money, and I was able to solve all kinds of health issues that were bothering me by myself, with the help of making decisions using this method. My life path led me to try to understand what my method is, to organize it and to think about how it can be passed on, to shorten the path for others. However, you have to remember that I am just an electrical engineer from the Technion. I am neither a doctor nor an army general nor a psychologist, politician, sociologist, anthropologist, writer, mathematician, or philosopher. But I'm not afraid to explore all these topics and touch them with a free thought. Zero fear. I'm not a coach. The coaches invented a method and made money from it. I made money and bring you the method. The fact that I have been successful in business, alone, is not enough to guarantee that I am right. The main idea is to enable you to learn the method, to think freely, reach conclusions independently, generate the profit, live the life you've always dreamed of. Reading the book or listening to the lecture will help you develop free thought yourself. There is little chance that the free voice will reach you. People who come across answers and solutions that arise as a result of free thought ask, if the whole public is mistaken, then why don't the professors say anything? To utter his voice, that this voice will reach you and that you will agree to listen to it. This is a multiplication of four probabilities. Low chance. In addition, it takes time for new research findings to be practically integrated into everyday life because the process of translating research into practice, known as knowledge translation, can take many years. There is no profit in the simple solution. Another answer to this question comes from the world of economics. If the plastic surgeon who profits from liposuction treatments tells his patients to simply change their diet, reduce wheat products, oil and sugar, he will not have a living. So in theory, it could be simple and easy, but in practice, the patients probably wouldn't listen to him, and maybe even the doctors themselves don't believe in this solution. Therefore, they sell liposuction for NIS 20,000 and not free nutrition for NIS 80 like the book. The big solutions are usually brought by business companies. On the other hand, solutions of free thought usually do not require the purchase of drugs or a large financial investment. Therefore, in the absence of an economic model and business interest, we will not hear them from professionals or from different industries. For example, it will be difficult to build a business model from a nutritional change for diabetics. People want a quick solution without effort. Most people want to invest the least effort to achieve the greatest profit. In other words, they want good food, beautiful partners, money, a tidy house, a huge garden, a luxurious perfume, status. But they don't want to invest energy rabba and not to work hard for all this. Free thought tries to get the most profit with the least effort. But most people don't understand that, yet. It is clear to me that learning a good profession is more suitable for lazy people than being a Walt messenger. Because in a good profession you can be lazy. I have always been lazy, so I learned a profession where the computer works for me. For example, an investment manager who studied economics, after 4 years of hard studies, works less hard than a Walt courier, who has to be on the go all day. What is misleading is the great effort required at the beginning, although after that a lower effort is invested in a good profession over the years. The average overall effort is lower. The problem that people shy away from the initial effort is an arithmetical error of average calculation. Another example of small effort and big gain. When a person complains to the doctor about heartburn, the doctor will straight away give him an antacid pill. He probably won't explain to him that the heartburn was caused by his diet, the toxins in the rice or the oil he ate. It is clear to me that it is easier to change the diet and solve the problem for good than to take pills regularly and even suffer from their side effects. There are not many free thinkers today. There are not many free thinkers, mainly because it is very difficult to break away from the opinions we grew up with and change our minds. Being a free thinker is not related to intelligence or IQ. It is only related to knowing a different way of thinking, like the one that appears in Tools for Free Thinking. In recent years, information technology has greatly improved, and today you can read every book that has ever been published, receive research summaries, and ask ChatGPT complex questions that in the past you had to go around universities for months for them. I mean, it wasn't really helpful to be a free thinker 50 years ago when the information, knowledge and science were so different from today. So where is your profit? Your profit is to think freely in your unique way. Don't rely on me, I'm wrong a lot. Although it's usually because I'm being misled. Everyone is beautiful in their own way. Take advantage of this beauty to think freely in your own way. Addicted to technological and scientific inventions, and the world is addicted to technological and scientific inventions, and the newspapers are in love in them, and humanity depends on technology for its future. Technology and science will not improve our lives, on the contrary. This is precisely where the problem arises, that non-technological discoveries are forgotten and are not talked about, even though their impact on your life is much greater than any technological invention. Free thought often leads to non-scientific or technological discoveries. When the founders of the United States wrote the Declaration of Independence and the structure of the American government, the press did not announce, "The system of government that will turn the United States into an empire has been invented." The important inventions are not scientific, they are human. Technological inventions are copied, but cultural and interpersonal inventions tend to be neglected. A few years ago, when they discovered that weed is poisonous to people because of the toxins found in it to prevent pests from destroying the plant, no one talked about it as the invention of the century. To this day, it has been forgotten, but it poisons hundreds of millions of people. Few understand it. Now you are one of those few. Resistance to change, as in any field, there is always resistance to change in medicine and science. This could be due to entrenched beliefs, financial interests, or simply the human tendency to stick with what is known and familiar. Our thought is lazy. Help it to wake up, think freely. The most dangerous thing is what we grew up with, the unrealized profit. The craziest non-financial profit is precisely in contradicting the assumptions we grew up on. Because no one really checks whether they are true, and then you are the only ones, and they are also stuck in your life like foreign agents inside you. Just like, eat vegetables is healthy, until the age of 46 I did not check this assumption at all. And when I checked I was surprised, you can read with it in a free diet. Do exactly the opposite, hard work. Run away from the stock market when everyone else is leaving. Buy expensive clothes. Do everything our best. Don't make stereotypes and don't make assumptions. These things are really not good for our profit, not only the financial. The truth is many times their opposite. We won't explain everything, but hard worker is really a dangerous value. The most dangerous people in the business are the energetic and the unwise, because they spread the nonsense energetically in society. Working with minimum effort and maximum profit brings the greatest profitability over time and not hard work. A stereotype is an evolutionary feature for protection. We sometimes need to decide in a fraction of a second whether the person in front of us is dangerous to us or to him. It is clear that a stereotype helps us at this point. A boring definition of free thought: mental freedom is just as important as physical freedom. Free thought is a new way of thinking that helps achieve the mental freedom and to a certain extent the physical freedom, making money and the like. And in the combination of both there is true freedom, liberty. Science and logic don't go wrong together, so when they both indicate something it's interesting. When there is a conflict between them, you need to exercise free thought. Humans once grew up with the understanding that slavery is logical. Therefore what we grew up with doesn't have much meaning if we don't try to understand everything ourselves. Most of the difficult questions in the world can be solved with the help of information, science, logic, evolution, history, anthropology, and thought free, which is the organization of all these tools. Free thought seeks in everything a minimal investment of energy for a huge profit, in every field of life. That's how I came to establish Plus 500. The company made 10,000 times the investment. What you hear is an opinion and not necessarily the truth, and what you see is a point of view and not necessarily reality. Don't be limited by the opinions and limited imagination of others. For example, we want to understand if you need shoes for running. Evolution shows that most of the time they moved around barefoot. The logic says that shoes change the form of running due to changing the angles of impact on the ground. There is science that shows that in barefoot running the shocks are smaller. There is a crossover between logic, evolution and science. Now for viewing we have to try it on ourselves. There is a crack in free thought. We are drowning in information but long for insights into it. Here comes free thought to try to isolate the signal from the noise. Free thought is the game between logic and information. Information can be obtained by science, mathematics, experiment, observation, or anything that brings a fact with a high level of probability. The information leads us in the right direction, but the one who makes the decision in the end should be our logic with as little emotion as possible. Emotion obscures reality. The information depends on logic, so you need to practice knowing when the information is true with a high probability. Free thought is independent thinking about any subject in the world, based on assumptions that there is a high probability of their truth. This is a method of thinking just like the method of kicking a ball or any other method. This truth, with high probability, can be reached by time, logic, reason, and empirical observation, and all this in a free thought method. There is nothing spiritual or mystical about free thought. On the contrary, it is based on a method of applying logic to information and devoting time to it that others would not. In order to think freely, we must understand our thinking biases. Free thought should lead you to the source of the matter. Often others don't see it because they don't believe there is another way. Example: could it be that a large part of children's dental problems are breathing through the mouth and not through the nose? They say that our environment and our parents determine what our lives will look like, but our decision-making is the third most important factor, and it is much more effective when there is free thought. The big crack is, usually free thinkers did not come from an analytical field like engineering. They came from a humanistic field. And here it is the free thought of the free thought to think engineeringly about all fields in the world, especially fields of government, health, etc., that engineers do not deal with at the thought level. Example: an Australian koala eats a specific eucalyptus leaf and almost only that one. All other animals will suffer to the point of death from eating the poisonous leaves of the eucalyptus. By exercising free thought, it is possible to assume with a high degree of probability that each animal is suited to relatively specific food, and from here go a little further and assume that humans are not meant to eat everything, only relatively specific food that they have been exposed to for thousands of years. For example, a basketball player, it is good to be tall, but is it possible to teach height? And this is where free thought begins. Is height the only measure of success in basketball? What are the strongest qualities in great basketball players? What can you teach a beginner player? Is it even worth trying to be professional in basketball? What are the chances? It is possible to prepare tools to bring improvement. For example, lots of training in the neighborhood. When you look at successful athletes, you realize that participating in other sports gives you an advantage. You get a war tool that others don't have. And from here, you can move to a more general point. In any field of involvement, when you have experience from other professions, it brings a great advantage. For example, an investor who was also a manager knows the ins and outs of the business better. We always have a story in our head, about everything, a kind of basic premise. What is the basic premise that accompanies us and does not allow us to see other basic assumptions? Eat at every meal a grain and legume carbohydrate. If I do what she did, I will succeed. Fruit sugar is healthy. In order for you to understand what free thought is, you need to delete your basic assumptions and rebuild them. To ask, how do you know? In order to finally arrive at the question of whether everything is based on a mistake or a real thing. Mathematical and statistical knowledge is very helpful because they help develop a data-based thought and not a feeling. The Free Thought Project has a point of view that is often contrary to the general perception, perhaps because free thought is based on logic, facts, changing one's opinion, and giving an opportunity to receive facts that contradict our worldview in every way, even the most obvious topic. We are mentally lazy in our DNA, and therefore probably prefer to stay in our comfort zone, without delving into research. A person who thinks freely is a person who shapes his ideas and opinions, and is based on facts that are self-evident, i.e. prove themselves. Thought is like walking. Those who walk in a direction and for more time see more new places, regardless of intelligence or wisdom, it's simply a matter of time. Walk physically and walk mentally, you see new places. The Free Thought Project has all the information I have accumulated in recent years, along with suggestions for improving the standard of living of everyone who is now reading this text. My knowledge is based on research and books I've read, along with personal experience and, of course, free thought. The goal of the project is to make the information accessible to everyone, and above all, to develop free thinking in you. Because only in this way and not by technology can you do good. In the Free Thought Project, I encourage open, critical, and research thinking, and yet, with the appropriate degree of modesty, it is still a view and looking at things through my eyes and personal experience. It is clear to me that we as human beings are different from each other in many ways, and there is no uniformity and 100% compatibility in all the ideas presented here. But try while reading to challenge yourself and check honestly and despite the resistance that some of the scriptures may raise in you, to delve deeper, ask questions and doubt until you reach your place of truth. An important point for understanding free thought. Just because everyone is doing something does not mean it is the right thing. Exercise independent thinking about any subject in the world, and like a scientist or researcher to question everything that you are told is not true, and then try to find out that maybe I am wrong, and this is true. The lack of free thinking does not stem from a lack of wisdom, only from a lack of practice, and it can contradict any accepted assumption. We know some of these assumptions well. When it's cold outside, you can catch a cold. We must learn to play because playing develops and enriches our abilities. The question is, how do you do it? How do you develop free thinking? How to develop free thinking? In order to develop free thinking, you must first of all accept the concept that probably many basic things that we think are absolute truth can also change. We once thought that sugar was healthy, that the world was flat, and that women were witches who terrorized the world. Today it makes us laugh even to think about it. But once these were truths that were not disputed at all, and if you went out to sea with the boat, you had to be very careful not to fall at the end of the world on poor Atlas Head. Therefore, many times it is necessary to understand why a certain thing is true or not true, where the information came from, who passed it on, and how he came to this conclusion. Because usually there is a reason or a law, some kind of physics, that helps to know whether what is being tested is correct or not. Example, is it possible to transfer a broadcast immediately? Answer, no, because it is impossible to exceed the speed of light. The law that helps us is the law of limiting the speed of light. Another way to develop and train free thinking is to read theoretical books, where you can find plenty of interesting theories and a wide variety of assumptions. The key point in order to break through the boundaries of the non-independent thoughts that we are used to, is to reach basic understandings that are correct and true, and based on factual data. The point is that our opinions about many issues are based on other basic assumptions that we accumulated as children and teenagers and from actions we did in the early years of our lives. When we, for example, ask an architect to design a big house for us, we rely on the basic premise that a big house is a good thing and it can provide us with quality a better life. These are things that many of us heard in childhood, at our parents' house, or in other places. What is this premise actually based on? And how did it become a fact for many people? Can hearsay give us safe ground to place the significant opinions we will hold as adults? I claim not. Because, for example, a big house needs more cleaning, more maintenance, and has a bigger, environmental footprint. Nature makes me happy, this is definitely a safe assumption. My privacy is important to me, this is a safe assumption. With the help of free thought, one observes and notices that what is really important to me is to be close to nature, at home, to feel an incoming breeze, and to have privacy. After analyzing the facts with the help of free thought, I come to the conclusion that I can of course have these things in a small house as well. Living in a big house is not necessary for me. This, at least, is the collection of my assumptions about what a house is right for me. For someone else, it will be different conditions. What is important is to stick to your truth, and this truth is based on many small truths that you have confirmed along the way, and they are true for you. And yet, with free thought, you can contradict everything. Herzl had something to say about free thought. Herzl, in my opinion, was among the greatest free thinkers. He dreamed and wrote about his dream. But more than a dream, he wrote and performed. He formulated somewhat aggressively and not politically correct for our time the incorrect beliefs we grew up with. The human mob feeds on prejudices from the cradle to the grave, and therefore, since we cannot abolish prejudices, we have to conquer them for ourselves. From the book Altnuland. Like everyone else, he not 100% right, because we all grew up with incorrect beliefs, not just the mob. And about free thought, Herzl went on to write, but pay attention. Everything you have planted in this place will be worthless and wither. if freedom of thought and expression, generosity and love of humanity, do not flourish in it. You must cultivate all of these and allow them to grow and prosper among you. And of course, page 165 in Altnuland's book, this is freedom, thanks to which we become real human beings. Knowledge is like Francis Bacon, an English philosopher, statesman and scientist who lived from 1561 to 1626. One of the sayings his most famous is, knowledge is power. This phrase comes from his larger work, Meditationes Sacrae, and has been paraphrased over time. The saying, knowledge is power, emphasizes the importance of acquiring knowledge and how it can empower individuals and societies. By gaining knowledge, one can better understand the world, make informed decisions, and find solutions to problems. The phrase also emphasizes the potential of knowledge to be used as a tool for control, both in terms of self-control and in the context of influencing others. In Bacon's time, this statement was revolutionary, as it challenged the traditional reliance on authority and encouraged people to seek knowledge through observation, experimentation, and critical thinking. His emphasis on the scientific method and the value of empirical evidence had a great impact on the development of modern science and the pursuit of knowledge in various disciplines. Free thought is a mental and non-scientific method of reaching insights. The Journey of Socrates Isaiah Leibovitz, 1903-1994, was an Israeli intellectual, scientist and philosopher known for his divergent views, controversial and thought-provoking on a variety of topics, including religion, politics and ethics. He was an outspoken critic of Israel's policies and a passionate supporter of the separation of religion and state. Leibovitz did not explicitly refer to the concept of free thinking in the way other philosophers have, but some of his views can be linked to the concept. In general, he emphasizes critical thinking, intellectual independence, and personal responsibility. He argued that people should think for themselves and not blindly follow authority or tradition. Leibovitz criticized religious dogmatism and warned against turning religion into an ideology. He believed that religious practices should be focused on the worship of God and not used as a means to achieve political, national, or personal goals. He also argued that it was the role of the individual to question religious authorities and challenge them when necessary, emphasizing the importance of intellectual autonomy and skepticism to stimulate critical thinking and uncover contradictions in one's beliefs. He emphasized the importance of seeking truth and wisdom through questions and dialogue. One day, a true story unfolded in ancient Greece involving the famous philosopher Socrates. Socrates was known for his dialectical method of inquiry, questioning people to help them come to their own understanding of complex ideas. This approach often led to amusing situations. On this particular day, Socrates was walking in the Athenian market when he came across a group of young people discussing the concept of free thinking. Socrates, intrigued, decided to join the conversation. The young people debated whether it is better to follow the norms of society or think independently. One of them, named Toptus, claimed that free thinking is essential for the progress of society. Another, named Crito, insisted that adherence to social norms was essential to maintaining order and stability. Socrates, with his wit and curiosity, posed a question to the young men. Can you tell me the difference between a free thinker and someone who is just confused? The young men, eager to display their knowledge, started a vigorous debate. Tufts argued that a free thinker is someone who questions the status quo and is not afraid to explore new ideas. Crito countered that a confused person also questioned established beliefs, but they did so without any clear direction or purpose. Socrates listened carefully, and when the young men exhausted their arguments, he spoke. "You both make valid points," he said. "However, I would like to suggest that a true free thinker is one who not only questions the status quo but tries to find as close to the truth as possible and profit from the truth. The truth cannot be known with certainty. Without profit, there is no free thought. On the other hand, a confused person questions without any real understanding or analysis of the concepts they doubt." The young men were surprised by the wisdom of Socrates' words. They understood that the art of free thinking required more than just questioning. It requires a prophet and a bet. It also required a deeper understanding and the ability to analyze and synthesize information. It requires betting on the truth. Most of what is factual can also be refuted or is a bet on the closest thing to the truth. It used to be a fact that the world is flat or that vegetables are healthy. The idea of betting on the truth from all the data you have is a free thought. The prophet is necessary because otherwise you are just a thinker. A prophet creates a connection to reality. I, of course, invented the story just to convey a point. Did you like it? Beautiful things that can be understood with the help of free thought. In the pursuit of beauty, it can be argued that the ultimate goal of humanity is to reach aesthetic perfection. As far as the issue in Israel is concerned, the electoral system and the government, and not the people themselves, are the root of the problem. A solid investment for the future is education, which includes various forms such as childhood learning and academia. Vegetable oils have been identified as a contributing factor to the obesity epidemic, making them a poor choice for a healthy lifestyle. It is important to approach information on social networks, tabloids, and from certain people with skepticism, as much of it is based on incorrect assumptions and should be treated as the opinion of the author. The need for running shoes to absorb shocks is not as important as previously thought. Instead, the way we act can be the real problem. Reading fosters intelligence in children, making it a valuable activity to promote. Although it may seem counterintuitive, plants have various mechanisms that can be interpreted as trying to kill or deter us. Engineers are among the highest paid professionals in the world, and this trend is expected to continue. The relentless pursuit of technology may not lead us to a desirable future, as it contributes to environmental destruction. Instead, embracing anti-technology and focusing on natural processes can be a more sustainable approach. Although doctors have the skills to address critical issues and save lives, their training often lacks a focus on identifying the root causes of problems. Many complex problems can have surprisingly simple solutions when you look closely. By combining the forces of nature and technology, prosperity can be granted to everyone. However, this requires a fundamental change in mindset towards natural thinking, working in harmony with nature and not against it. Nature does not need our intervention, but we must embrace it and learn from its wisdom in areas such as animal husbandry, environmental protection, and natural nutrition. 6. The tools to think freely. The following rules will help you think freely and profit when there is an opportunity. Note that most of the time there is no opportunity for profit. Profit can be financial, physical, spiritual, or even that your son scored a goal. What you must know is that it takes many years to master free thought. It's like playing the piano. You have to practice it. You can't just read about them and then it will return your love. Logic. You have your own logic. It defines you. It is different for everyone and creates a different reality for them. You must use your own logic to think freely, otherwise you are not truly free. When you activate free thought, at the end the logic connects all the principles and is supposed to give an answer. Get used to asking yourself questions that don't have a clear answer. Why are there smiling people? Or, why do you always pass the blame on to others and not take responsibility? In the logic of Narn's cross-references, if you received confirmation from several places for your claim or decision, it greatly increases the probability that you are right. Observation. In the 1830s, Charles Darwin traveled on the HMS Beagle as a naturalist. His journey took him to many diverse environments, including the unique Galapagos Islands. There he observed related but distinct species, such as turtles and finches, each adapted to its particular island. Intrigued by the variations, he learned more about different species and their environments at home. These observations led him to propose the theory of natural selection, which proposes that species evolve over generations through adaptations beneficial to survival. Thus, Darwin's keen observational skills played a central role in shaping his understanding of evolution. Darwin was one of the greatest free thinkers ever. This is the most important law in free thought. It is your senses that should bring you clues for the next hunt. the sense of sight is the most critical, not just a huge part of our brain is busy deciphering what we see. The beauty of the observation is that it is unique to you many times. What do you see with your eyes? This is where the solution begins. Do you have personal experience with the question or problem? If you are not crazy, it can be assumed that this is the safest thing for you. Use what you see, hear, etc. Data is different from science, where you do the calculations and get a conclusion. With information, you base yourself on the calculations and solutions of others. The basis for free thinking is knowledge and insights from many unrelated fields. The only way is reading books and newspapers. Sometimes the solution to an important question is a picture in a newspaper article you read 9 years ago. History is information. What has been many times is what will be. Everything that worked well for humans throughout human history will also be good for us many times over. What is the source of the information is very important. If this is an article, come on. Credibility is damaged because their interest is popularity. If it is a scientific study from Stanford, it should be given a different weight. Are these your eyes that saw? Professor, a reporter should attach credibility to any source. Doubt always leave room for doubt, even if your inner voice has already sent you in a certain direction, something like, it's obvious he's a thief. Doubt your intuition too, or the first answer your brain gives. Our brain is lazy, that's why our thought is lazy. It doesn't always check everything to the end. The brain doesn't have the strength to think about everything all the time, so it pulls out answers. Doubt until you reach your truth, not the truth of others, yours. This is what is written in a general health fund or a professor said something. It doesn't mean anything without free thought. Yes, even in the things I say. Check what works for you and what doesn't. Yes, sometimes everyone is wrong. Swimming against the current does not mean you will drown in the river. Sometimes everyone is wrong and you are right. Think like a child. Little children think that everything is possible. Until many things are understood by them, they are not afraid to imagine. Approach the things you think about in this way. It is critical in free thinking to allow ourselves to think about everything, not only in the field we feel comfortable with. That is, if until now we thought of areas from 0 to 10, increase our options up to 100. Let's say we think about the traffic jams in Israel, and then we are limited in thinking about adding lanes. Try to think of other methods from other countries or other fields. Maybe even limit the entry of cars into the cities. This is just an example, of course, how to twist the thought. Levels jump from the individual to the general and back to the individual whenever possible. And always try to find a higher law. If I suffer from stomach pain when I eat gluten, and I don't have a proven sensitivity, there is a high probability that I am not the only person in the world who is sensitive to gluten without being considered celiac, and from here you will return to the rule. Apparently everyone is sensitive to gluten, but this needs to be further investigated, and actually in this research you are probably the first to try to understand, is everyone sensitive to gluten? Sometimes a private case helps us with a bet to find a higher rule. For example, when we see a person without teeth smoking drugs, we can assume that smoking drugs causes tooth loss due to the lack of minerals. It is dangerous to jump from the particular to the general, but it is very profitable, because it uses observation. And there are things that only we see, and then the profit is unique to us. At times, a law from another place that applies to a private case also comes into play. For example, you know the law of entropy, the whole universe goes in the direction of disorder and you have to invest energy to lower entropy, that is order. When we arrange the house, it is a special case of this because the house gets messy in millions of ways, but there are only a few ways to arrange it. Messing up the house doesn't take energy, but tidying up takes a lot of energy. These jumps in levels, taking frames for individual cases is really useful. At entry levels, you will also learn to separate a symptom from the problem. When we get over the symptom, we come to the problem many times. Does your back hurt? It's not because of the chair you're sitting on. Did you get a wound? Do you suffer from insomnia? Don't look for an immediate reason. Do a broad investigation of the cause. Science in science means that you understand and apply mathematics, physics, chemistry, probability, and biology at a level where you can think for yourself about the question of whether it makes sense. These are your calculations and understanding. In addition, you have to decide whether the science is true with sufficient probability. Always go back to science if possible. Science often gives us certain answers. And with certain answers, you can move forward in the search for an answer. For example, in the question of whether sugar is healthy for us, science explains very well why pure sugar is not good for most body systems. Probability and calculation will help you think freely to get probability of results. A calculation also gives an answer that is 80%. It is rare to give a 100% answer to a difficult question. Free thought uses probabilistic tools to achieve maximum profit with minimum effort. It is very difficult to reach the truth of 100%, but 80% is enough sometimes. For example, is red meat suitable for humans? There is no clear answer here, but there is an answer that is worth betting on. If the absolute majority of engineers who graduated from the Technion will earn NIS$50,000 per month within 2 years of graduating, compared to engineering graduates from the universities, it's better that I study at the Technion. It's not certain, but it's close. It is important to understand even if the result is not good in the end, the decision was correct. Arithmetic and training in arithmetic gives us an important tool to think freely. Because there are no opinions in the calculation, it is a wonderful tool that helps to row as close to the truth as possible. Understanding mathematics, calculation, is like a second intelligence. When you combine information and models with mathematics, you get a basic truth that helps decipher reality. In the end, all the tools here are designed to help us understand reality and foresee a little ahead, at least more than others, because your advantage comes from running faster than others, or rather the speed, running. Make good decisions by combining information, math and logic, and this is exactly free thought. I personally founded Plus 500 based on a simple equation that assumes short-term trading is random and hence the expectation of zero at infinity remains zero. We learned something similar at the Technion. I had a small advantage over others and used it, and with the help of Tool 5, to start a company with amazing partners. From this tool comes compounding interest. This is a universal law that applies not only to investments, one of the wonders of the world, and in education, one of the most critical tools. When you invest what you have learned, dihanu, the interest, is back in life. The increase in abilities is tremendous. An example from economics: an investment of NIS 10,000 for 25 years at 10% annual interest will yield NIS 110,000. That's 11 times the money. An example in a career: when you learn something new every day by reading a course, academic studies, or any other way, countless possibilities open up for application based on the new knowledge we have gained. He who does not learn will always remain where he stopped. It's basically interest de interest in learning that can yield huge profits. Reinvest what you've learned to improve abilities. That's what smart and successful people do. When there are two sources of information that give you the opportunity to think freely, it increases the probability. Let's say in the question, are people today happier than people in tribes? Looking for something close to the tribes, let's say whether people in the village are happier than people in the city. And yes, it's worth crossing this with I saw a nature film and the members of the tribe didn't stop laughing. This is an example of crossing information between research and what I saw with my own eyes. And then if the answer is negative, it's worth asking a broader question. Why were people in the tribes happier than today? Raising this level brings very interesting answers. Framing it like historical information only, it's a process you remember. You will frame the reality, and you will transfer the frames to domains. Frames are something you frame from the science or information you have accumulated. The trick is to know what's important and what's less. In every field, there are models in our brains, templates ready to quickly deal with similar situations, that define reality. There are thousands of such models for a quick understanding of what you see. For example, you see someone in front of you smiling and you immediately feel less threatened. This is a mental model. We don't have enough time to specialize in all fields and to define and understand many models. Therefore, the idea is to think about existing models from different fields and test them on new models that we want to promote. Example, many women like makeup, but maybe they are more beautiful without makeup? In the same way, maybe well-kept public gardens would be much more beautiful if they were natural? This is a simple model transfer. A good book on the subject. Transferring a mental model, state, company, human. Just as a business company has to adapt itself to the changes of time in order to survive for many years, according to Jim Collins' book, Building Companies to Last, Jim Collins, you can take this model also applies to the country. Countries need to explore and adapt their governance system in order to prosper for many years. And for humans, in order to prosper, we need to change and adapt our opinions and our actions to reality and new information. Free thought gives a large part of its solutions through the transfer of models, frameworks, and their adaptation. An example of such a model is the activity of the tribes that are far from modernization. In nature, man was without shoes, and then they frame it to the model. Our feet were built to walk barefoot and it has meanings. Then when you look at shoes, you put the above frame and realize that minimalist shoes that simulate walking barefoot is what a person needs, the Pareto principle. 80-20 rule. This mental model suggests that about 80% of the results come from 20% of the causes. You can apply this principle to different areas, such as time management, focusing on the most impactful tasks, sales, targeting the most profitable customers, or software development, fixing the most critical bugs. Say, do you push with your toes when you go uphill? I wanted to know what is the correct way to walk with the foot. As in the previous example, is everyone sensitive to gluten? When you ask a question that is very rare and you are probably the only one who has asked it, then there is a good chance that you are on the right track. I often get to ask questions, myself or others, that I don't believe have ever been asked. Inversion. Sometimes the missing information can be solved by inversion. To the question of whether they used to leaven bread? The answer is found in the reverse of the mitzvah. Not to eat leaven on Pesach. If there was a ban on eating chametz, which is sourdough, we can conclude that the rest of the time they ate leavened bread, and then we got an answer from the opposite. Even in the question, why don't most people do sports? The question that is easier to get the answer to is, why do people do sports? Many times. You just have to reverse to arrive at the probably correct answer. Remember, it's usually probably. To gamble, sometimes you have to jump in a mental bet because there is no certainty. When your bet has a good chance of succeeding, bet to try to reach the answer. Sometimes we are stuck and have to gamble a little. It is important to bet smart. Intermediate conclusions. Just like solving a long question in math, there are intermediate calculations. This is just an interim conclusion. It helps us reach the final answer. Applying the tools with examples and all the examples, you will see that thought is free, rolling, from place to place until you arrive at an answer that is probably correct, not 100% but a high percentage. Just like ChatGPT that predicts word after word and not the whole sentence, this is exactly how we think, trying to think of the next word or the next thought. In the same way, a free thought does not jump but travels from station to station. Everyone has a different logic and a different way, but I believe that most of the results will be close. How to improve the level of football? When you look at countries that manage to raise good players, very few citizens understand that what is really important is to give the children a good opportunity to train. I mean, it's a framing of a general insight that I put in football. Training creates ability. In football, it's a bit more complex because you also need freedom of action to try new things. We actually not only improve the level of football but also make the children enjoy themselves with pitches near the house and practice, which is a kind of game in the neighborhood, which is the most fun. The profit here is huge, therefore, both the child enjoys it and good players are produced. The most important thing that has disappeared from the world in recent years due to the internet and seclusion is the games in the neighborhood. It is easy to see that in countries and neighborhoods where children play with friends outside, good players grow up, so we need to create such games with the power of so that they let the children play like in the neighborhood in training, without a coach. It will simulate the freedom that exists in the neighborhood. Of course, what would also help is to put soccer fields near the houses, because it will be comfortable to play there and the fields will be filled. That's what we did where I live. We built a field and it is of course full of children and adults playing soccer, basketball and tennis. If you want to go down another level, you understand that the smaller the child, the smaller the number of children you have to play, and a lot of coaches are guilty of this, and at the age of 7 they let a game of 7-on-7 to be carried out at the age of 7, they only need to play 3-on-3 so that they can see who to pass to and there won't be a pile of children on the ball. Is there a right way to walk? This is a very interesting observation and one that I have not seen in studies, I just saw it with my own eyes. Even in my own ears, it is called an observation of free thought. Pulling out a question now, I pull out a tool in the direction of the question. Should humans walk in the same way or should each one walk in his own way? Because if there is one way to go and everyone goes differently, then surely the majority are wrong. Looking for an answer, the answer to the question comes from my logic with some frameworks from the tools of science, meaning I use three tools at the same time to try to get an answer. Our chapters have been built and adapted over millions of years of evolution. Walking is almost the most common thing that humans have done, so there is a good chance that it received an evolutionary emphasis. The mechanics of the joints is based on the physical assumptions of the movement. Most likely there is a specific form of walking that we are built for. It is not that we get injured straight away when we walk like monkeys, but it is likely that the joint is not built for it. If we walk all our life like a monkey, we will surely get injured and cause damage to the joints. But we will not rely just for the science. We will check what happens to the other animals during the walk, which is actually to try to raise a level, to check all the animals and not just the humans who are a type of animal. And here there is an interesting crack, because you can see with certainty that all the animals of a certain species walk in the same way. Dogs, zebras, chimpanzees, and the like go the same way. Now we will use the observation again and also look at tribal people from nature films. They are really similar in their walk. There is a difference, but it is really small. That is, the difference in walking is only in modern humans, so it can be assumed that we should all walk in a certain way, but we don't do it. Imaginary woman on high heels applying logic to the different observations between animals having no shoes and tribal people having very flat shoes at all. When I imagine a woman walking in high heels, I immediately see how her walk changes. It's an imaginary observation. It turns out that there is also such a tool. Now I've discovered that it's nice to use it as well. So it makes sense to give an intermediate conclusion here, that it is an important tool in free thinking. The intermediate conclusions are that shoes change our walk. Indeed, I know that shoes change all the time, and over the years there are air balloons in shoes as well as narrow shoes and all kinds of other things that support the claim. Why does a person walk in a certain way? A person walks in a certain way because of shoes, but also according to what he saw his parents. I saw this in observation. Children and parents have a similar way of walking many times. You can assume and make a bet like the form of laughter that the walk is also often influenced by the environment and less by the gardens. It could be tested on identical twins raised in different homes, but I have not seen such studies, so I am making a bet, which is part of a tool for free thought. I remember asking a friend, "How do you walk and stand upright?" He replied, "My father also walks upright and stands upright." We have come to an interim conclusion that the form of walking changes from generation to generation because each generation sees its parents walking a little differently than it should, and also shoes change our walk. Wait for me, I'm coming barefoot. So the answer to the question is that there is one correct way to walk and the majority do not follow it. Now all that remains is find the right way to walk, and probably prevent millions of problems related to walking incorrectly. Yes, everyone makes mistakes, but we will make a big profit with a little effort. Probably thousands of doctors solve people a symptom and not the problem, which is the way of walking. By observing and using the beauty frame, we understand that models walk in a way that looks beautiful to us, because it is upright and radiates health. I framed the following idea. What conveys beauty many times is the right shape, and applied it to walking. Upright is beautiful, bent is ugly. Upright is healthy, bent over is not healthy. It's not something you learned. A 2-year-old child can say what's beautiful and what's not. It is our instinct to understand who is healthy and who is sick. White and black teeth in the same frame. When you also look at walking tribes, you notice that they usually walk with small steps and very upright with the legs straightened and the body not bent forward like a lot of people walk, run and stand like that. It directly conveys something not beautiful and therefore probably not healthy either. And indeed, you see that over the years people tend to bend over, a lot because of the food but also because of the way they walk, sit and stand. And our profit from this, which is really minimal effort for maximum profit, is to walk upright and stretched with minimal shoes and even bare feet. And the additional profit will be when we understand many more things from here and we may also benefit from them. Do we need to add salt? Salt in the eyes. Let's start with an observation. In every food I see, salt is added manually or the manufacturer added salt. In the observation, I noticed that when I'm used to eating without salt, it doesn't bother me, but when I'm used to it, it bothers me that there's no added salt. In addition, when I eat foods with salt such as meat, I am very thirsty and drink at least a liter of water. In addition, there is a strange, unpleasant feeling, especially after very salty foods. Let's start with the doubt. I strongly doubt that you need to add salt to any food, even though everyone does it. From the observation, I concluded that salt, like many other substances such as sugar, are really tasty because we get used to them. If we take them off, we enjoy the food just as much. In other words, I doubted, without salt, food is not tasty. A claim we grew up with. What did the ancients do without salt? Let's continue with interesting data. The early evidence, most salt processing methods date back to around 6000 BC, when people living in what is now Romania boiled spring water to extract the salts. A salt factory in China dates back to about the same period. Homo sapiens, which is our human species, have existed for about 300,000 years. Apes have existed for 7 million years. From science, we learn that salt, which is sodium chloride, is composed of 40% sodium and 60% chloride. We will ignore chloride and concentrate only on sodium. A teaspoon of salt, there are about 6 grams of salt, so they are 2.4 grams of sodium. Now they use tools and ask, how much sodium do you consume without adding any salt at all? This comes out to about 0.5 grams of sodium per day. 100 grams of steak has 0.06 grams of sodium. 100 grams of wheat flour has approximately 0.005 sodium. A sample test of data through Google and ChatGPT shows that today an average person consumes approximately 3.4 grams of sodium per day. Consider a teaspoon and a half of salt. And here is the first free thought up to this point. During most of the years of evolution, man consumed 0.5 grams of sodium per day. A few thousand years ago it started to rise and today it is 3.4 grams. That is 7 times. It is not pleasant to drink 14 liters of water. Now we will use the framing from an observation deck. I drink about 2 liters of water a day. If I drink 7 times as much water, i.e. 14 liters, how will I feel? Very bad. Now I level up with a bet and frame here. Materials that humans consume can be changed by say 20 to 30% and the body knows how to deal with them well. 7 times it is completely disturbed. This is my framework. Most of the science shows that there is a connection between an increase in salt consumption and various diseases. So I'm in the general direction. It is also possible to go down to the resolution of the kidneys. The kidneys play a crucial role in maintaining the balance of the various minerals in the body, including calcium. When sodium salt intake is high, the kidneys will excrete more sodium in the urine to maintain balance. However, this increased sodium excretion can also lead to increased calcium excretion. sodium and calcium both use the same transport mechanisms in the kidneys. When there is a lot of sodium to excrete, it can compete for calcium to be reabsorbed, which means that more calcium ends up being excreted in the urine. Over time, this increased calcium excretion can contribute to the development of osteoporosis, as the body may begin to break down the bone to replace the lost calcium. It is also worth noting that high levels of calcium in the urine can contribute to the formation of kidney stones. Leave biology and go above it. The free thought here is not to try to understand exactly why salt is not good for us from a chemical and biological point of view, but to let the super laws, that is, laws from other levels, guide us. An auxiliary tool that will give us more profit is to ask, why have people increased their salt consumption all these years? Why do food companies and restaurants add salt to everything? Why do people accept this addition of salt? Where are they all? The sea of death or a sea of salt? Now I connect everything with my logic. Everyone has a different logic. My logic says that it is unnecessary to add salt, because it causes diseases that we do not understand at all. Most of the years of evolution we managed without salt. For reasons of acquired taste, we added salt to every food. Until today we reached a situation where there is no food without salt added to it. Every food has its own natural salt. The salt confuses the taste systems in the body. At the end I also remembered another observation. In the United States there is salmon and tuna preserved in cans without salt at all. And they are good for several years. I tasted them and they are really delicious. Are girls more communicative than boys? From my observation, I see that girls talk much more than boys. I remember that autism is much less common in girls than boys. I pull out a frame from memory that autism is the opposite of communicativeness, and then I bet that autism is less common in girls because their basis from the beginning is more communicative. And this is the other question, why is autism less common in girls? The answer is fine here. I continue from the evolutionary science that girls had to communicate with the family and other families when the men went hunting, so I bet they naturally turned out to be more communicative, and that's another science. I draw from an observation that boys who were realistic were less communicative, and there were many more realistic boys than girls, and then I bet that there is a give and take between realism and communicativeness. Finally, I use science to conclude that girls are indeed more communicative on average than boys. A beautiful question that should be asked: is it the environment or the gardens? Unequivocally, genes.